and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
This morning I want to speak on something that really I'm passionate about. It's something that really, when we began church just over 11 years ago, 11 years and 1 week ago, that we hoped and prayed might be part of every single individual's life that comes here to Valley Church. We talked about building a home to empower a new generation, and you can't be empowered if you don't have this part of your life sorted out. You just can't. And it's an area of life that, even if in this moment we feel great, there will be moments where we don't. And even if we feel great, there'll be so many people in our world that don't feel great. This subject is a subject that when we were putting this little series together after Easter, we asked all the pastors here and said, well, if you got chance to speak, what subject would you speak on? And not all of them, but most of them talked about this subject and said, this would be really helpful for you to speak into our life or our leaders' lives, our team's lives, or church life, depending on their role. And what I want to speak on this morning is this: how do you keep a healthy heart? How do you keep a healthy inside? Because I don't know about you, I want every day to jump out of bed and feel happy, right? Anybody else like me? I want to feel full of the joys of spring, which is kind of nice because it's kind of spring, so that works. And I just, you know, actually when I meet people, I want to love them rather than have to put up with them. Anybody else feel like that in the morning? Yeah, I'm putting up with you because I have to. And I want to be thankful I'm alive. You know, I want to have inside me feel good. And the whole world wants to feel the same. And they pursue relationships and money and all sorts of things, as it were, to feel good inside, to feel happy. And it's not, so this message isn't just, you know, as it were, a Christian message for us. It's for every single person that you might meet, I might meet, who might listen to this message. And the Bible has some really important things to say about how we keep our heart healthy. And so my plan this morning really is to be quite super practical, and I'll be super quick. Is that all right? Super. So if you've never taken notes before, this is your moment to take notes. Get your phone out or whatever you do. If you need a pen or anything, if you wave one of our hosts, somebody somewhere will come and grab a pen or a piece of paper and will help you to do it. So I have five things in 15 minutes to tell you. Right? Number one, this one's the most important. And I've entitled them on this: we need to bury ourselves in God. We need to bury ourselves in God. Some people who in the world say, you know, I think God might exist. Okay? And you might come in here and say, well, that's me. I just feel God exists. Now, God is somewhere, as it were, out there for those people. Right? And that's just where they are. Some other people say, well, you know, I believe God is real. They might even say that, you know, I think I want to follow him or go with him, and that's great. But in one sense, God, Jesus, is added into their life, very on the kind of the outside of their life. Where God fits, it's great. If he doesn't fit, he's not part of their life in that area of life. He's there. He's maybe real to them, but they make God fit into their life, not the other way around. Does that make sense? And for some, that's great. And if you're on the journey to get to know God, you might feel a bit like that. But there's another level, church. And that's to be buried in him. To be buried in him. You see, God knows you and he loves you. In fact, the Bible says he's the source of love. He's also the source of our value. If you want to be valued, you need to know God. God values you. Well, he died for you. And when you understand that concept, you go, man, I am super valuable. That's why I love the cross. I love talking about Jesus. Because every time I think about it, I go, I know how precious God thinks of me. Even if nobody else in the whole world loves me or thinks I'm important, I know God does. And God values me. And God is the source of eternity. If you want to figure out now and for all eternity and realize that life's not just about now, it's about forever, God's the source of that. And believe it or not, most of the world are asking the question, is this all there is to life? Honestly, if you say, do you think it's all to life? You've got an automatic discussion with almost anybody in the world because they're interested. That's a good question. Let's talk about it. Because they want to know, is this it? Is this it? Do I just live 70, 80, 90, 100 years and then die and get turned back to dust? Is that it? And we go, no, it's not it. God has an eternal plan for you. God has an eternal plan for you. But you need to, I believe, bury yourself in God if you're going to have a healthy heart. Isaiah 26, verse 8 says that we do this by making his desires our desires, making his honor our honor. Psalm 62, verse 5, which I'm going to read out for you when I find it, says that we do this, as it were, by pouring our heart and our life out before God. 62, verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I shall not be moved. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people, and pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. John 14, verse 1, Jesus says to his disciples, don't be troubled, just trust in me. And when we do this, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4 these amazing words, words that after following him for over 30 years, I would echo what he says. So Philippians 4, verse 2. That's not right. Oh, dear. I have to come back to that. It's a guard your heart. Does anyone have the guard your heart verse in Philippians? No, it's in Philippians. Just talk amongst yourself for a second. 4 verse 7. Thank you very much. There you go. 4 verse 7. Paul writes this. I can't read my own writing. It looks like a 2. You still with me at the back? Excellent, good. Well done, Sam, for waving at me. Philippians 4, verse 7, this. And it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ alone. You need to bury yourself in the middle of God. I sometimes think that people look at Michelle and I and go, wow, their life is all sorted. Isn't it amazing? And actually, that's pretty true at the moment, to be honest. It's all sorted and pretty amazing. But our life hasn't always been that way. We've had some interesting marriage journeys in our journey. We've had some interesting health moments in our health journey. In those moments, church, you need to know that I've always buried myself in the middle of God. And it's God that sustained me. I stand here doing what I do, not because I am anything, but totally reliant on God. And him sustaining me through those moments and keeping my heart healthy enough to see me through so I didn't make any great mistakes or do anything drastically terrible. And because we need to bear us of God. And so I want to suggest a few practical things for you. You ready? Number one. So when bury yourself in God, first thing you need to decide you're going to do that. It has to begin with a decision. Secondly, you need to commit time to that decision. Deciding to bury yourself in your God, but not committing any time to it, means you won't or you can't. It's not practically possible. In the sense of, you know, reading the Bible. If you don't know God's word, how can you bury yourself in him? Because this explains who he is and what to do and how you do that and all that kind of thing. And if you're a Christian here and you've not read this thing all the way through yet, that's your first mission. Read the whole thing so at least you've got a chance to bury yourself in God, right? So at least the whole counsel of God. And once you've read it a few times, buy yourself a concordance. Unless you're an amazing memory reader, you'll forget where all the verses are, right? Yeah, I do anyway. And the concordance is my best friend. I know what the Bible says, but I have no idea where it said it. But you can find a word or two. I guess some of you modern guys love phones and things like that, right? But I still use a paper concordance. But get one of those because it really helps. Commit time to hanging out with God. Christians call it prayer. But I think prayer doesn't really summarize it. I think it's hanging out with God, which you talk, you listen, you are with God. I would recommend daily, but often is God. And commit time to serving the purpose of God. And I mean in every area of your life. Church life for sure, but home life, at work life, when you're doing karate, whatever you're doing, say, God, I'm committed to your service here. And that will take time, because once you spend some time with God and hang out, you get used to his voice, and he'll call you to do some things in the middle of anywhere. And you'll serve him there and see him do incredible things. It means being in the middle of his body. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that the church is the body of Christ. He says that through the body, Christ does everything he does on earth. And you can't be buried in Christ without being buried in part of his body, right? You just can't. So somebody, it doesn't need to be this church, a church. It needs to be buried and say, you know, I'm committed to this fellowship. Turn up on Sundays. Going to Connect Group. Dave talked about Connect Group already. I'm committed to serving, committed to training. I'm just going to make this my home. I'm going to make this my home. Secondly, choose what you think about carefully. Philippians 4:8 goes on to say this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul was a psychologist all those years ago. Could you believe it? Modern psychology is just catching up with Paul. Modern theory is if you think positive thoughts, life will become positive. And they go, well done, guys. You've just caught up with Paul. Paul was talking about this stuff years ago. Because Paul had the Spirit of God. He was wise. He was inspired. And he was saying, look, choose. If you want to have a healthy heart, choose what your mind's thinking about. Think about things that are true. I don't know about you. I hit situations and the facts are these. And then I kind of extrapolate, yeah? Kind of go into the future. And these become this. And this is always a mess, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of way you start. Your mind quickly goes, I know the facts are these, but what it means is this mess over here. And Paul's saying, no, think correctly on this. And then he talks about thinking what's noble and right. And what he's trying to say is process what's true well. Do it well. I would suggest do it with friends if necessary. My life's like this. This is going on. I think that's going to happen. And your friend will go, you're an idiot. It's never going to happen, right? Let's just think about it properly. Let's talk about these here. And let's get some noble and some right thought presses going on. And then Paul talks about, think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. Think on, they're all good things, not bad things. Each of our lives in this room, each of your friends' lives or your family's life, perhaps their heart's hurting, each of those lives, right, have good things going on and bad things going on. If I come to talk to you, you could list a whole stack of things that you'd wish were different in your life, right? But you could also list some things that are going well, that are lovely and praiseworthy and excellent. And the Bible teaches us, not modern psychology, though it does teach the same thing as it happens. You see, Paul says, think about those things. You'll be much more healthy if you think about those things. If you think about it, now I know some of us find that easier than others, but it's an instruction, a help for all of us. And when you guys go out into your workplaces and your families, and you meet somebody who's perhaps going down a bit, and you say, stop, you need to think about positive things. You think about positive, why? Because the Bible, God teaches that that's a great way to live your life. Again, you need to choose to live like that. I actually believe if you struggle with it, if negative thoughts easily come into your mind, you need to get some help, as in somebody accountable, a good friend, a good mate. You might need a bit of professional help. That's okay. Lots of people in this place have professional help, and we would love to put you in touch with some people that are really good at helping you to think through things. That's great. But often a friend will do. Just a friend who, on the back of the phone, how's it gone this week?
Oh, it's gone great this week. My thought life's been amazing. Oh, no, it's terrible. Can you ring me in an hour? That'd be good. You know, it's been that bad. I need help every hour. But you just need people to help you. And then if you're going to think about great things, put yourself in great situations. Read books or watch films or programs that will help you think great things. If you're on the computer, which some of you younger guys will, play computer games that will help you think good thoughts rather than ones that don't. I don't know if they exist or not, but that would be my advice, right? Most of them are shoot 'em and kill 'em games, right? Or storybook, what? FIFA's more, okay, right. I was trying to be relevant there, kind of show my age, right? Yeah. Number three. Actually, those first two are huge, if you can get those two. So, but number three, and somebody's mentioned this already, but from the front, choose well those who you allow to have influence over you. Choose well those who allow to have influence over you, especially influence over your heart, your inner being. So I'm talking about the close friends you have in your life. Could be your husband or wife, and choice of that, or your girlfriend or boyfriend, for sure, but also your closest friends, those you hang out, those that, because we all of us influence each other. All of us do. Nobody is immune from the influence of another. Proverbs 12, verse 26. Says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. And I would advise you to be cautious. The Bible advises you to be cautious in your friendship. Allowing who you allow close to your heart, close to who you are. And do you know if you're helping other people, often helping people sort out their friends, those that are good and those aren't good, is massively important. I know as parents, and parents will be sat around here, we always worry, don't we? What will our friends be like of our children? Will there be a good influence or a poor influence in their life? Because it's a big deal. Proverbs 23, verse 19 says this. I just love this, so I'm going to read it for you. It says this. Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. It's one of my favorite parent passages. Anyway, Paul summarizes all this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Friendships are huge on the state of our hearts. They really, really are. And if we're going to have a healthy heart, we need to find people that will help us to have a healthy heart. People who will help us achieve those God-given dreams, the dreams that you have in your heart for your life, for your family, for your business, for your holidays, whatever it is that God's, that you may have, that they will help you achieve those, or they'll help you not achieve those. It's really, really important. And especially, there's quite a few of these guys who aren't married, especially in your choice of partner, your husband or wife, choosing ones that will help you achieve your God-given dreams is massive. It's massive. The Bible teaches that, but practical common sense teaches it as well, right? It really, really does. Because imagine I was an Olympic marathon runner. You can imagine it, right? Oh, come on. You can imagine me being an Olympic marathon, right? And you know, I was obviously, I'd have to go into strict training. Particularly, I'd have to go into very strict training, I think. Very strict training. I'd probably have like very tight meal patterns, right? And I probably need a psychologist to sort my head out, having that kind of strenuous lifestyle. And you know, all I would need somebody in my life who supported me. Imagine if I had a partner who said, I hate you running, your food stinks, and it'd just be really difficult for me. I'd be fighting, not just, you know, losing weight and all the miles I've been doing. I'd be fighting the person that I love, right? Wouldn't it be much better if I found somebody in that situation
who said, I'll support you. I'll come running with you. I'll make sure the meals are ready for you if I can. I want 100%. I want you to win gold. I believe in you. I believe in that future. Wouldn't that be the person I'd want to find? And yet there's so many Christians these days who, I want to follow God. I want to achieve all that God's got me. But I'll have a partner as anybody because they look nice or they've got a nice character. Really? If you want a healthy heart, and I'm 50 this year, right? I spent 15 years doing youth work. I've seen thousands of people go out with people. And the difference it makes, if you love Jesus, to find somebody who loves Jesus, how they fly, not just in their faith, but in every area of their life, family, business, it's amazing. Those who are Christians who choose not to. Choose not to. Now, and the people they marry, they're really nice people. Honestly, they're amazingly nice. I'm not knocking them. But they just don't have the same heart, the same passion. They're not going in the same direction. And it's not that the Christian means any bad, but they just get pulled and things just don't work out the same. We've seen some disasters along that way. Not that Christian marriages always work out perfectly either, or that they're stress-free, obviously. Joe had to. Anyway. I'm not saying that, but it's so much easier then to correct that and go forward rather than two people that actually are going in two different. If you want a healthy heart, watch those who are close to you. And if in doubt, find some new ones. Actually, I know I haven't really got time, but we've just discovered some amazing friends over the last 2 or 3 years called DJ and Karen, and they wanted to wish you all happy birthday. And so we couldn't quite fit it in last week, and Dave didn't play it because he ran out of time, but I can fit it in my message, right? So these are some of our good friends, and these two that you're about to see, we will travel to see them, because when we leave them, we feel built up, we feel energized, we feel like we can go and take the world. They put something in us, in our inner heart, that very few others do in our lives. And that's the sort of friendships I'm talking about. Those that build you up and you come away going, man, I feel awesome because I've met with my friends, my heart friends. Anyway, if you can just play the clip, that would be great.
Michelle, can we do it with us?
Well, we're all good. We'll go. It's a go.
Hey, everybody at Valley Church. We had a phenomenal time with those crazy bishop and the farmer girl right here in Cape Town. Happy anniversary. We know you
have
a great...
Happy birthday.
Same thing.
Just keep going. It's gorgeous. Just, so just see. If you just start again, it'd be fine.
Start again.
Yeah. Right. We see this is why, though. We've only got this is why.
Sorry.
Hey, everybody at Valley Church, happy birthday. Congratulations. It's been fantastic having the bishop and the farm girl with us here in Cape Town, South Africa. Hey, and this is why. We love the album. We know you're going from strength to strength. Love you guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's so much fun. You need friends like that, right? Right, I'm just going to really mention this. Number four, watch your finances carefully. If you want a healthy heart, watch your finances. Watch them in the sense of they're in the right place in your life. 1 Timothy 6 says that money is the root of many evils. Money isn't evil, but in the wrong place in your life, it can cause a lot of evil. So make sure it's in the right place. It's your servant, not your master. And then manage it well. And we do manage finance courses here called CAP, and... rather than me talk for the next 5 minutes, can I just encourage you to get some advice if your finances. It was great news to hear about that family after 7 years and now debt-free. That's just incredible. Such hard work, but the freedom to have your finances in the right place and under control is just awesome, and that family going to blossom and just love that so much. But watch your finances carefully. And finally, fifthly, remember your heart is part of you. Part of you. And I struggle with too much weight. I'm fairly fit, but I'm very heavy. And it's not good. That affects your heart. It affects how you feel, which affects your heart, right? And Pastor Dave's on a diet. He's doing very well. How much have you lost so far, Dave? 15 kilograms. 15 kilograms. How many pounds? 35 pounds. 35 pounds. That's a lot. You give him a clap. He's doing really well. Well done, Dave. We won't say how much more he's got to go yet, but another 35 pounds. Wow. But I just want to say, in one sense, burying yourself in God is the most important thing. Thinking about what's right isn't as important, but it's really important. Having great friends in your life, again, is so important. But remember that if you neglect the rest of your life, it will impact your heart. It really will. And I'm determined to lose some weight and get fitter, because I know it affects all parts of me. I want to finish with this, then I'll hand back to Dave. When Jesus died on the cross, he died so that your sin, your rebellion against God could be forgiven and you can have a restored relationship with him. Absolutely. That was the chief purpose. But along with that, God wanted you to be healed now. And part of that healing is working the way towards having a healthy heart. A heart that does wake up in the morning full of the joys of spring, that is able to love people, that is thankful they're alive, that is happy, has that inner joy even when they shouldn't. Because God's still there and the future's still secure. And my prayer is that for those of you sat here who have a healthy heart, that you'll help those who haven't, right? You won't take it for granted. But you say, if I see or something, I'll come on and say, I'll pray for them. If I can help them, I'd love to help them. But for those of you who haven't got healthy hearts, who sat there going like, yeah, my heart is not like that. I want to say, God is in the business of helping you get a healthy heart.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.